just an interesting little piece of history there. And so what a great opportunity we have again to say thank you to moms and grandmoms and mentors, and thank you for the sweet treat that all of them will be receiving as they leave today. And thank you for Denise and the WMU for doing that and the Brotherhood sponsoring that. And just a reminder, I don't think it made it on the calendar. It's been a while since we had one of these, but next Sunday is Business Meeting Sunday. I know, everybody is so excited. I can hear the enthusiasm just dripping. But it'll be a good time for us to get together and rejoice and celebrate what the Lord has done and tend to some business. You'll notice that we've had these up here for some time. We do have a committee that is working on getting bids and for updating our audio and visual system. And so we're hoping by the end of June that we should have all of that ready to go and be able to present to the church to move forward with that. The current sound system, I think, has been in place for, almost 20 years now? And so it's due for an upgrade and to add some video capacity for lyrics so you don't have to fumble with the song sheets and can be looking up and praising as you worship. So just keep eyes and ears tuned for that. You'll get a brief update about that during business meeting next Sunday. Immediately after the worship service, we'll make it as short and sweet and concise as we can. And so it'll be good to do that. We're taking a break from Habakkuk this week and turning to the book of Acts as we consider Mother's Day. Acts chapter 16. I invite you to either turn there or to find that in the bulletin or the handout that it's printed on. We're looking at verses 9 through 15, and probably start reading from verse 1 here in just a moment. Title of this morning's message is Making an Eternal Difference. And I want to start by affirming to all of the mothers and grandmothers and mentors that everything you do makes an eternal difference. The way that you live your life for Christ makes an eternal difference. The way that you have invested in your families and in those that have crossed your paths makes an eternal difference. And I hopefully know that, and I want to affirm that it makes a difference. Whether you are our home raising children and families, whether you're doing that and working outside the home, all of it makes a difference. And that's what we strive for in life, I believe. I believe that all of us, moms, dads, men, women, as we get to the end of our lives, we want to look back and be able to see that our lives have made an eternal difference. Is eternity different because of how Christ was able to use me? And so it's good to know that right where we are, doing what we do, that we can make an eternal difference for Jesus. We have this encounter in the book of Acts in chapter 16 between Paul and some of his missionary companions and a woman by the name of Lydia. Lydia doesn't show up very often in Scripture. And that isn't unusual, because oftentimes those that only show up once or twice in Scripture end up making a tremendous difference for the kingdom of God. And we find that Lydia was impacted by the ministry of Paul and as a result came to know Jesus, and as a result of that had an eternal impact on the spread of Christianity throughout Europe and throughout the world. And so I think that from this brief encounter with Lydia, we can learn some important ways in which we can make an eternal impact and an eternal difference for Jesus, just by doing what we do and just by being who we are. So I want us to take a look, starting at Acts chapter 16, starting at the first verse down through verse 15. We'll read and then get into the life of Lydia. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. If you ever read through the book of Acts, look for that phrase, that being strengthened in the faith and increasing in number daily. You'll see how the impact of Christianity grew and grew as the numbers were increasing daily. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and then the day following to Neapolis, and then from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Making an eternal difference. How was Lydia able to do that in just those few short verses? I believe the first way in which we can make an eternal difference is to be resourceful. Again, we read this passage of Scripture, and we see that this trip to the city of Philippi was in direct response to what is often referred to as the Macedonian call. I believe it's the hymn, "Jesus Saves." I have heard the Macedonian call today, "Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves." That's what this is referencing, where Paul receives this vision to go there, and then he goes there with himself, and earlier in the book of Acts, Silas, and then Timothy, as mentioned earlier in this chapter, and now Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. And so they answer the call, and they arrive in Philippi, and the pattern would have been to go and to find a Jewish place of worship, a synagogue. But in most cities, it was required that there be at least 10 Jewish men in order to establish a synagogue in that particular city. And they weren't finding any there. And so they assumed that there were not enough men in the city of Philippi to have established that synagogue. And so they arrive there and they kind of get settled in, and then they wait for the Sabbath to go and to try to share Jesus with people. And as the scripture points out, they go in the Sabbath in verse 13 outside the gate to a riverside where they were supposing would be a place of prayer. Now the significance of someplace by a river or riverside was the water would be available for the purification rituals that the Jews had. And so it would be a place where that would be available. And they go and they find this place of prayer, and they see a number of women that were there. And among those women were Lydia was there. Now it says of Lydia where she was from, Thyatira, and that she sold purple fabric. What seems to be the big deal? Purple fabric. Except that purple fabric was, purple was a sign of royalty. And this fabric trade, that fabric was very expensive for it to be dyed and was very, very valuable. And so she dealt in this purple cloth, and these goods were associated with royalty. And Thyatira was identified as kind of the hub of the trade of these purple garments. Kind of like, you know, when we lived in California as we were growing up, we heard of the garment district. That was the hub of where all of the garments being assembled were taking place in the garment district in Los Angeles. So this city was associated with this fabric and this purple, the purple fabric being traded. And that's important to know because Lydia was very resourceful. She had this ability, she had this skill to be able to be active in trade. In all of the comments and the commentaries that I have read, they suppose that she is either single or she's widowed, and it gives her this flexibility to travel and to be able to do this trading. And all of that points to a woman who is very, very resourceful. She's using the abilities and the skills that God has given her, and they're going to be used for God's glory. The great thing about that is that all of us are made uniquely in God's image. We aren't cookie cutters. And God allows us to be resourceful using the gifts that He has given us. Now, a few years ago, many of us went through a class on servant leadership. And in doing that, we developed what was called a serve profile. What makes each person unique? How has God gifted you? And it focused on five things. How has God gifted you in terms of spiritual gifts? What is your spiritual gift? What experiences has God given you that could be used for His purposes in His glory? How has God created you to relate to people naturally? How do you build relationships? What work have you done that God could be able to use for His glory? What burns in your heart with enthusiasm when you think, gosh, if I had the opportunity to serve somebody or to serve doing something and I didn't have any limits, what is it that burns in your heart? God uses that to allow us to be resourceful. And people that make an eternal difference are resourceful based on how God created them. God created Lydia to have these particular skills and this particular vocation and this particular moment in life. When we make an eternal difference, moms, grandmoms, mentors, men, all of us, when we have the ability to make an eternal difference, God equips you for that. He makes us unique, and He gives you the opportunity to serve Him for His glory. So we can make an eternal difference by being resourceful, by using what God has given us in order to glorify Him. And that gives such freedom that we don't have to be like anybody else. We don't have to serve like anybody else. We don't have to be an exact copy of anybody else because we're not. And if you have something that is of interest and a passion to you, God can use that, and He can use it in a resourceful way in order to make an eternal difference. So not only was Lydia resourceful, but also she was spiritually sensitive. Luke describes Lydia as a worshiper of God, most likely a very devout Gentile who believed in God, but hadn't yet converted to Judaism. Somebody that we might define today as a seeker. Somebody who is interested in God, is reading about God, is learning about God, but hasn't quite taken the step to become a believer in God or a follower of Christ. And so that's what who Lydia was. And the scripture says that she was listening and that the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. God was already at work in this encounter, wasn't he? You look back at the early part of Acts chapter 16, and God placed this call, this vision to go to Macedonia, this vision to end up in the city of Philippi, and God had already worked in Lydia's life to bring her all the way from Thyatira to Philippi so that this God encounter could take place. And she was spiritually sensitive. She was interested. She was meeting for prayer. And she was learning about God. She was listening as they sat down and spoke. And the Lord opened her heart for her to respond to the things spoken by Paul, to respond to the way in which Paul preached Jesus. Spiritually sensitive. The exciting thing is that she was the very first convert in all of Europe. Talk about influence. Talk about making an eternal difference. We know how God used Christianity in Europe. We also know the challenges Christianity faces in Europe today. But it started with Lydia. It started with her being the very first known convert to Jesus in all of Europe. Makes an eternal difference. God opened her heart. In order for people to hear the gospel, their hearts have to be open. There has to be a spiritual sensitivity. There has to be an interest and a longing and a yearning for the things of God. Somebody described it this way. He says that Luke underlines that conversion is due to the action of God that opens the hearts of men and women to receive the word. This view of things is exactly what we find in Paul. Remember the scripture that says that people who do not believe don't believe because their minds are darkened by the God of this world. It keeps them from understanding who Christ is. And that they are converted, as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, when the gospel that comes to them, not only in word, but also in power and in Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So there are people that hear the gospel and their minds are in unbelief because Satan has clouded them. And yet God comes in power and through his Holy Spirit and with a sense of conviction. And those spiritually sensitive people who are listening and hearing the word, God opens their hearts so that they can come to know Jesus. God has to work and the person has to be sensitive to the working of God. That's how an eternal difference is made. We have our responsibility to tell others and to share the word and to teach others and share the gospel. God has the most important part because, you know, if God isn't making the change in somebody's heart, that person isn't really changed for eternity. And then the person has to have that openness and willingness to hear and to respond to what Jesus is telling them through the gospel being preached. Making an eternal difference comes when people are spiritually sensitive. And I get the sense that there are probably more spiritually sensitive people who don't know Jesus than we probably recognize out there. And it is for us to be spiritually sensitive. Those of us who have received the gospel, we can help make an eternal difference when we are sensitive to others that might be interested in hearing. Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke found those women. They obviously had something going on spiritually because they met to pray. Prayer is a spiritual activity. People just don't get together to pray because of, hey, you know what? That sounds like a great activity today. Let's go pray. God is at work when people are praying to draw them together to call upon the God of the universe. When they were gathering to pray, God was already at work And God used Paul and their spiritual sensitivity to make an eternal difference. So Lydia was resourceful. She was also spiritually sensitive. She was also very influential. The scripture says that she opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized. Now that word for household is a word that we are very familiar with from TV commercials. Oikos. Same one that they use for the yogurt. Bet you didn't know that was the Greek word for household. But now you know. And back in those days, the household meant everybody who was part of that household. The family, the children, the servants, the extended family. It was a huge influence. And if we think about it, our influence and our oikos, so to speak, is not just the people who live under our roof. It is our family, our friends, our acquaintances, the people that we meet as we go, our co-workers. Those, all of those people are our, under our sphere of influence, our oikos, not just the people under our roof, but the people under our spiritual roof, so to speak, the ones that we have in contact with. It says here that she and her household were baptized. She had influence. God saved her, and her influence led to her whole household coming to know Jesus and to follow him and being baptized. That's an eternal difference. When one person living and transformed by Jesus can make a difference to those who are around them. That is influence. Making an eternal difference means that we have great influence. We have the opportunity to influence and to impact the lives of those around us. It starts with our families. And thank you to moms and grandmoms and mentors who have made, had an influence for eternity by the way that they lived their lives for Jesus, poured that life into their children, and then pour those lives into their grandchildren. And those children and grandchildren came to follow Jesus. And they poured their lives into others. You see that ripple effect. That's influence. And, you know, we often think of influence these days. You know, there are a lot of people that are described as what? Social influencers, right? What does that mean? Hey, look at me. I am wearing the fanciest new clothes. I'm a social influencer. You can all follow me. It has no difference in eternity. To be an influencer means that our lives in Christ have an impact, a ripple effect on others. We're not social influencers. We're eternity influencers. Because of the gifts and skills that God has given us, the opportunities to be able to be spiritually sensitive and to seek out and to know those who are being interested in Jesus and to influence the people in our sphere, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our acquaintances. We have the ability to influence people that way. So thank you again to all of the moms and grandmoms and mentors and to all of the men and everybody here who have had tremendous influence on the people in your sphere, your children and grandchildren, your co-workers, all of those that you witness and you share. That's influence. You don't need to be on Facebook. You don't need to be on Twitter. You don't need to be on Snapchat or Instagram as a social influencer, because you're a part of God's kingdom as an eternal influencer to make a difference for Christ. I know that eternity is going to far outlast Facebook. I feel pretty confident about that. Eternity is going to far outlast the influence of Twitter. What we do here makes a difference. How we equip ourselves here makes an eternal difference. Because we, through the power of Christ, get to influence people for eternity. That is awesome stuff. Be an influencer for Christ. Just like Lydia was. Influenced her entire household to follow. And then, finally, Lydia was very gracious. After Lydia and her household were baptized, she urged those missionaries to stay. She admonished them. One translation or commentary said that she almost begged them, "Please stay." And she challenged them in a sense and said, if you think and if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come into my house and stay. If you think this gospel that you just preached has really transformed me and my family, come stay with me while you continue to work here. And all Luke could say was, and she prevailed upon us. Okay, you win, we'll stay. And imagine the amount of work that it took for Lydia and her household to support 4 guests for the gospel. And then later in verse 40, after the jailer was converted and Paul and Silas were let out of jail, it says in verse 40 that they went out of the prison and they entered where? The house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, so all of the believers started gathering at Lydia's place. That's influence, right? It's like the mom who's the neighborhood mom that has all of the kids coming. That's influence there. That, you know, that has nothing to do with social media or anything. That's influence at the grassroots level. When you're the neighborhood mom, or when you're the one that the neighbors come to and confide in because they believe they can trust you and they believe there's something genuine and sincere about you, that's influence. And when you are in the position to do that, that's graciousness. That's hospitality. Hospitality is so much more than just inviting somebody over for dinner. Because you can invite somebody over for dinner and not be very gracious. Hopefully the two go together, but you can. But you don't have to invite somebody over for dinner. You can go to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks and have a very gracious, hospitable encounter because it's not about the location, it's about the heart. It's about the heart being ready to be an influence and being gracious to others. Leslie Flynn, in one of his books called 19 Gifts of the Spirit, points out that the main part of the word hospitality is hospital. He writes that ancient travelers, whether pilgrims or businessmen, fared poorly when venturing beyond their own country. Thus, religious leaders established international guest houses in the 5th century. These havens were called hospice from the word hospes, Latin for guests. With the coming of the Crusades, the importance of the hospice increased greatly. Pilgrims, crusaders, and other travelers found hospices, by that time run by religious orders, the only reputable guest houses of those eras. Soon after the Crusades, most of these institutions began to specialize in the care of the poor and the sick and the aged and the crippled. And during the 15th century, secular interest took over most entertaining of travelers. And so the hospital restricted its function to care and treatment of the sick and handicapped. But originally it meant a haven for guests. God wants us to be a hospital. He wants our hearts to be a haven for guests. Whether it's the neighborhood kids, whether it's the neighbor in need, our hearts have to be open, and we can do that anywhere. Lydia opened her home and said, "You missionaries, I'm begging you, please stay. Do something for the kingdom. If you believe that what you just preached changed me, then stay here and go preach it to others and let them change them." And then all of the brethren started meeting there. That is influence, and that is graciousness. It takes a great amount of grace to be able to do that. And oh, that the Lord would give us such gracious hearts to be open to receiving people that way and making an eternal difference. It is so exciting that God has given us each an assignment to make an eternal difference for Him. And again, moms and grandmoms and mentors, thank you for the eternal difference that you have made in eternity, the ripple effect by investing in the lives of children and grandchildren and those around you. Only when we get to heaven will we be able to see the eternal impact and the eternal difference that has been made. And sometimes it probably didn't feel like an eternal difference was made. Sometimes you probably felt like you wanted to pull out your hair, that you wanted to go and run and hide in the bathroom somewhere. Give me 5 seconds of peace. Know that it makes a difference for Jesus. And keep on keeping on. We can't make an eternal difference for Jesus unless we know Jesus. Now, we may know a lot about Jesus. We may have read his book. We may have understood and studied the scriptures. But until we've trusted Christ and asked him to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of our unrighteousness and to give our lives to him and let him control those lives, we don't know him. A full and complete understanding. You know, we may know about the president, but we don't know him. There's a difference. We may know about Jesus, but if we don't know him, I trust that everyone here knows him today. And if you don't, that you'll come and inquire about how you can be for sure that you know him and have eternal life. Maybe some of you have thought, this is the place that I want to come and to make an eternal difference and to kind of take that next step to inquire about becoming a member, becoming connected in a more, the next step. Come and inquire about that. Pray that the Lord would give you a clear vision about how you can be an influencer and make an eternal difference for Jesus. And how you can continue to do that, because I know that you already are. All of the things that are happening every week and the calls that are being made and people that are being contacted and conversations that are happening, those make a difference. Know that. And know that your work is not in vain. And know that the Lord is using it for His glory. We can make an eternal difference. Let's pray that he would use us that way. Father, as we share together in this time of invitation, it is an invitation for the Holy Spirit to come and to help us to recognize if we know Jesus for sure, for eternal hope and eternal salvation, and to inquire if we don't. It is for those of us, Father, who know you, to continue to pray about how we can be influencing others for Jesus, not through our own power, Father, but through yours. Father, thank you for each person that's here and for the influence they've had upon countless lives that will only be measured in eternity. Thank you for the moms and grandmoms and mentors who have prevailed and toiled in prayer and in tears, investing their lives. Father, strengthen and encourage them to help them know that their labor has never been in vain. Father, may you receive the glory in every single thing that we do as we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.